The question was, what is the process of awakening, and what does will have to do with that? And I thought, oh, what a lovely question. So, I would like to begin by a phrase that was the first time I ever heard the word will, which was in the Lord's Prayer as a child. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And I pondered that because I'd never heard will used in my family in particular, except you will do this. Did anyone ever get that? And with a finger pointed, you will do that, and you will da-da, and you will da-da. And that was the word that I knew will to be. And only when I learned the Lord's Prayer, and it was, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And I thought, now how in the world do you do that? How is that? How do we come to that place of the knowing of that will? Well, as we know, we've come to the earth plane to learn through polarities. And as with all things, there are two kinds of will. And they represent the two polarities. You have personal will, and you have divine will. Okay? Now, personal will can be very easily described. Personal will is this. I want what I want when I want it. I will. So, personal will, the egoic will, the will that says in this plethora of abundant energy that's here on the earth plane, what shall I will today? I will this or I will that, whatever it happens to be. And because it's so seductive here, have any of you been seduced while you've been here? Raise your hand. I believe everybody's hand should go up. Okay. We've all been seduced. And it was yummy and delightful. And at some point we said, actually, this isn't quite the kind of will that I'm interested in. But we have to go down that trail. Our humanity says, I want a taste of all the fruits, the bitter and the sweet, and everything in between. So the personal will, and from the ego's point of view, it is about, how should we say, feeling that we are having a fulfillment through the use of our personal will. But as we grow and mature, we find that often what that ego will chooses is rather empty after a while. There can be a moment of, oh, this is great pleasure, or I'm really fulfilled in this moment, but it usually does not last. So the personal will becomes something that, for those of us who have chosen to be on a path, regardless if we believe the end result is enlightenment or nirvana or whatever we want to call that, that we are in the process, as we awaken more and more fully to who we really are, to say, how may I then take this ego will and allow it then to be in alignment with who I really am? And part of our practice is to see and feel and know what that quote-unquote thinks like, feels like, speaks like. Because now when someone says to me, I haven't heard it in a long time, you will do this, I used to just be, you know, like at attention because I knew what it would take to fulfill that purpose of will, my own personal will to accomplish whatever I'm being asked to accomplish, yes? And I had to line up behind that and do it. And if I didn't do it almost perfectly, then my mother would say, you will do it again. Ooh, all right, learn from your mistakes. So I became very wary of that word of will. And when the divine spoke to me about the divine will, I thought, ooh boy, this could be a really big hammer. This divine will could just come crashing down. And I thought, no, 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 Mary, it's not that. So I began to make inquiry around the aspect of divine will. And I found that that divine will was a totally different energy than that will which I had experienced as the little will, the ego will. And indeed, I found that that divine will had such a sweetness, such a love, and such joy within it, that I realized that the divine will was asking me to align not only the will of purpose, such as the divine would teach me and show me and I would become realized in it, but also in the process how the little will gently and with love and consciousness be brought in alignment with that divine will, so that who I was and how I would move and have my being in the world was not about, it was about something very different, very, very different. And so in the question that was asked about how will is a part of this aspect of enlightenment or illumination or whatever words you want to use, I know that it is important to honor that we need the will to be able to be on the path, to step upon the path and say, I will take the next step. That is a very powerful aspect of our personal will. And I know many people who have put one foot upon the path, and that was all they could manage in that lifetime. That was perfect. They got to see what that felt like, one foot on the path. And then they come back again and they go, well, the one foot was good. Now I'll make a soul agreement to put both feet on the path. Well, that feels pretty good. Now we're not stepping. We're just putting our feet on the path to kind of get the measure of it, see how that feels. Come back, maybe third or fourth embodiment, depending. Okay, this time we'll put both feet on the path, and I might just take a step or two, see how that'd be. Okay, now this part's getting really easy, right? We've been practicing it for a couple of embodiments, so no problem. So now we got both feet on the path. Okay, and then the first step. Now, usually, if you have a soul agreement, which you've made prior to coming into the body, that you're going to put both feet on the path, and you might even take a step, you're going to choose a family, are you not? Where perhaps there won't be any consciousness at all whatsoever about the path. But there might be a lot of consciousness about will, both negative and positive. Because to take that first step, you must have the will to do that, the will to say, I will take that step. Now, this is a very incredible energy that we're talking about, because not only are you taking it because it will be physicalized in your world, no doubt about it, and in the formless, there's also going to be the part that says, what will it be like if I were simply to take the first step? Yes? So you have these two wonderful energies, that which is unfolding in the form, in this world of extraordinary possibility, and in the formless. And what will that be? So, here we are, both feet on the path, and we say, I'm going to take my first step. Well, I don't remember my first baby step. Does anybody else remember that first baby step? I don't remember. But I know that my parents were watchful over the first steps of all we children. And so feeling that nurturance from way back when I was a child and did not remember the step, and knowing that now the divine will of that which I know is pure love, I know it will guide the step. And wherever the next step and the next step and the next step goes. Now I'm very blessed. I came in this embodiment. One of the things I asked for through my soul agreements was trust and faith. I said, could I please have sufficient trust and faith that when it comes time to take that first step, I'll be able to do that. Okay? Now, I was also very blessed. I made a lot of really neat agreements this time. One of them was that I would have a mystical experience early enough in the lifetime that a certain amount of consciousness would be mine at a very early age. So from age 6 onward, there was always the voice within, and I could feel how the energy was moving. And when I was out of alignment, I could tell it. And sometimes I would just say, well, pooey, I'm just going to go off over there. And I would, And then I would have to learn how to come back. And that took a lot more energy than just fiddly-doing right out here where I didn't have a clue as to what was going on. So, for each of us in this room, we have made very significant, wonderful soul agreements about how we will move and have our being on the earth plane this time. And for this first step of many steps, we don't take them, I believe, thinking that there is an end result. We take them because what is unfolding in our lives means that we have to be courageous, brave, have enough will and strength and determination to take those steps. And the first time I said to myself, I have to leave my family entity to go out in the world and be who I really am. I cannot be who I really am and be in the family. And all the rest of my siblings were very much in alignment with the family entity, and I was sort of out there somewhere. And that was my first step on the path. Of course, I didn't know it at that time, but it was. And so I had to have enough will to be able to say, I will take this step, and I will do what is true for me. And my father, bless his heart, he had two very strong things to say. He said, and this is from the Old South, and he grew up on a farm in Alabama. He said, the latch string is always on the door. And the latch string was the string that you pulled that would lift the inside lock so that the door could be opened. That was all he said. He said, the latch string will always be on the door. And my mother said to me, are you really going to do this? Are you really going to do this? I said, yes, mother, I'm really going to do this. And when I looked in her face, I saw how much she had longed to do this and had never been able to do this. So I realized that I was taking this step for her as well. Now, I'm telling the story because each one of us in this room has taken that step, each in our own way, each in a way that we said, it is not that we don't love our family and that we don't love whatever it is that's going on. Maybe we really didn't love it. Maybe it was very hard. But whatever it was, when we took that first step, it meant I'm taking it. And once that first step was taken, and nothing really horrendous happened, at least I can only speak for my own story, I went, wow, that wasn't too difficult. So perhaps I could take the second step. Oh, wow. Now look at where I've come. And I am now two steps away from an energy which could encompass me comfortably for the rest of my lives. My life, perhaps, but this life anyway. And to try my own way of walking, however the path may go. And the path is not a straight line. The path moves according to what is the next series of opportunities for growth, for realization, for understanding more fully who we are as love, how the divine moves in such incredible ways. I mean, I just think it's a miracle. When I look back at my life and I say, how did I get here? Because it's just a patchwork of things that seem to have no realization or reality or at one moment with each other. But when I look at the picture as a whole, I go, well, my. Isn't that interesting? And it wasn't the least bit boring. Has anyone had a boring life? If you had a boring life, don't come back to the meeting. Because this is not about that. This is about embracing the uniqueness of each of us and how we're stepping, stepping, and stepping. And when you are with people of a like vibration, as we are tonight, each of us, as we're listening, is dancing a certain dance within ourselves about how the energies were and are for us. Yes? Now, I have garnered wisdom. Have you garnered wisdom? Mm-hmm. I have garnered a sense of humor. I hope everyone's got a sense of humor. Okay. I have garnered the ability to now, finally, at long last, to be patient. Now, that was not a characteristic I came in with. No. I was the kid who was totally impatient. Let's go. You know, what was the next adventure, the next this, that, and the other? And to have patience to allow the divine to unfold whatever the divine order of the next energy field or the next aspect of whatever it was I was to learn to be presented, and to be patient while that was being unfolded. Because often we are impatient, are we not? And that is the ego saying, I want what I want when I want it. And the little will is very powerful until it is aligned with that divine will. So, the progress and the process and the unfoldment and all that happened. And eventually, as the divine would have it, I came upon a group of folks who were working in esoteric material, and they had come out of the Alice Bailey theosophical energy. And I walked into the room, and there were more women than men, just as we are this evening. And one of the women walked up to me and she said, first ray will. And I went, wonder what that is. And everybody looked at me and said, oh yes, first ray will. They were all great seers. And they said, we don't often meet people with the kind of will that you have. And I said, really? And they said, yes. And I thought, wow, I've got to relook at how I view myself, because I had the will to create powerfully. And so years of using my personal will and the God will to create what I wanted to create. And I love the creative process. And I had many, many people around me who also, this was our food, our manna. I mean, when people say, what is manna? I said, you just, if you're doing what you love, the manna is just pouring in. You just can't get enough of it. So, to honor that we have will. And then the second ray is love wisdom. So if you take the will, which you are, and you combine it with that love wisdom, you create this wonderful possibility of balancing the energies of your life. Because we have the will to be able to move mountains. We know how to do that. How many people have moved a mountain in this time, lifetime? If you have worked on your childhood stuff, you've moved a mountain. You can raise your hand. There's a big mountain. Okay. If you've worked on your stuff, you've moved a mountain. A mountain. And you've also done it for the generations, seven generations behind you, and seven generations that are to come. And in so doing that work, you have cleared the way so that when you take whatever steps you take upon the path, you get to say, oh, so now I can understand why this, which happened way back there, is now related to this, which is now happening in the present. And you can see how the line of will has moved through your life. And it's a very profound aspect of energy to understand and to hold in your heart. Now, we continue to walk upon the path, and events and people come in and out of our lives, and we have this beautiful dance that occurs, and we open to receive each of the dancers as they come into our lives, yes? And then, however the dance unfolds, we don't even need to know the steps of the next dance, and that's really a help, you know, that we can just kind of be present, and then the dance unfolds before us. And often had the opportunity of being in Istanbul, and I went to Kona, where Rumi had lived, and we were watching the whirling dervishes. And as I watched them, I realized that when I was in New York, I was taught how to whirl like the whirling dervishes, but it was part of a dance company that I was in. And so we would whirl in the class. And when you would whirl, if you were online, you never moved off the point of your circling. You were perfectly in alignment as you did the whirling. And you would have to whirl to the left, then you'd have to whirl to the right. And as you would whirl, what you would see is a band of energy, which was the room that you were in, and it was solid, and it was moving around you, and your eyes are open, and you're watching this band as it comes before your eyes, and of course you're whirling around, and you're in complete balance, And then, of course, to stop whirling, you have to slow down the centripetal and centrifugal forces absolutely perfectly so that you don't fall off your center. Now, this act of holding that center balance is part of what we want to practice in our lives, is it not? Because we are continually in a point within ourselves, are we not? That line of the divine, which is within us, our soul consciousness, which is within us. And that line is so incredibly clear and beautiful. But if we use our personal will inappropriately, what happens? We fall off center. And as we align our personal will with God will, that divine will, then the anchoring of that energy through our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies is just like the firmament. The firmament. It's absolutely incredible. So, you don't have to learn how to whirl. All we have to do is pay attention to what's happening within our center. All right? And that means how we align the energy in all of our bodies so that whatever is happening around us, we are holding in that beautiful consciousness that surrounds us and that we then send to everyone else. Okay? How many of us have had the experience of the love in our hearts, just our hearts almost bursting because the love was just pouring out? Everybody nod your heads up now. Have you had that experience? It's such an incredibly beautiful experience. And sometimes we don't even know that we're about to have that experience because the divine will bring it upon us suddenly so that we can, in just pure exuberance and joy, open our hearts and just let the floodgates open and the love just pours out. And as it's pouring out, we are not emptying, we are infilling. That is the most incredible part of the whole thing, that the more it goes out, the more it comes in. And that the divine used to call it the wellspring of divine love, the wellspring that is continually welling up within all of us, all the time, 24 hours a day. And often we're not aware of it because our attention is out here where the personal will wants to be. And the divine will is holding that center, and as this wellspring of energy is coming up, then what often happens is it will flow up and through and out our crown chakra. And then that divine love, and it looks like golden light to me, it flows down, and it comes down and puddles at the bottom of my feet, and the soles of my feet. It comes up through my feet, up through my legs, up through my torso, up through my heart, up through my crown chakra, and then like a fountain, it fountains out and comes down, and it's a continuous circulating energy. And it happens all the time. All the time. And I don't have to bring my attention to it unless I want to bring my attention to it, because that's how it works. Once you have that alignment of energy within yourself, then you can experience what that flow is. And it is remarkable and beautiful, and it's always there. It's happening to everybody in the room all the time, but we just don't bring our attention to it. We just don't say, let's see what that feels like as it flows through us and over us. And how that will show itself to you, what the color will be, what the energy will be, is your individual experience of how the divine flows through you. Everyone has a different experience. But this is something that, for me, is a touchstone whenever I want to realign, or if something happens and I see that I am using my personal will inappropriately, and I want to ask that that divine will bring me back into alignment, that flow will begin immediately. And it's just like that fountain expressing itself over and over and over again. And I can feel that alignment happening, and it is so beautiful. When we are in a place of peace, and that peace passeth understanding, it means that we have left the left side of our brain entirely, and we've gone to the right side of our brain, into the peace which passeth, goes beyond understanding and into the realm of the all in all. And when we allow that occurrence, that flow to the right side of the brain, and we open to receive whatever is coming through us at that moment, then the alignment of our will supports perfectly that which is being unfolded for us. It used to be that because I'm a very kinetic person and the energy moves through me in quite a kinetic way, that when energies would downpour, infill, they just knocked me down. And I would try and do the meditations, you know, sitting up and being very proper. The minute the energy would come in, bam! And so I decided, okay, enough of this falling down. What I'm going to do is just get on the floor and just do it from there. So that's what I do. I just get on the floor. I say, all right, here we go. Come on in. I'm down. There's a wonderful joke that my dad used to tell, and y'all will appreciate this. And it was, he grew up, as I say, in the Old South, and they had Holy Rollers, a church of Holy Rollers. And Holy Rollers are those who are taken over by the Holy Spirit, you know, and things happen. And it happened to be a church that was many of the black population went to. And this happened to be an extraordinary gathering. And, you know, everybody was doing the hallelujah and amen and all that kind of good stuff. And when the service was over, they had two young boys that if anybody had dropped over during the service, that they were to go and help them up and help them get to the door and if they needed something to drink, because a lot of them were just, you know, they just, you know. And so there was one, they called her Sister Anne. Sister Anne was a mighty woman, and she had fallen. And they walked over and they looked at each other and they said, you know what I believe? Second, we said, what do you believe? He says, we're going to leave her leg where Jesus flung her. Oh, yeah. So sometimes I feel like Jesus has flung me, and he has left me there, and I'm going to leave her lay just where she is. The energy of this consciousness is very, very powerful. And often we don't allow ourselves to let the power of it come in. We haven't allowed ourselves to say, I want to know the fullness of this energy, whatever it is, and however it wishes to express through me. And I do not know what the next words out of my mouth will be. I simply trust that whatever I'm supposed to speak, it will come forward and I will speak it. And how does that happen? I have not a clue. When people say, well, how do you do it? You just do it, you know? And it's the same way with so many things in each of our lives. Some of you know how to cook and you do not even have to measure one thing. Is that not true? Nod your heads up and down. It is true. I know, because I've watched people like that. I cannot boil water. No way. My mother said, how in the world are you ever going to find a husband? You cannot even boil water. I said, Mama, we will go out to eat. I said, it will not be a problem. We will find a way to do this. Now, there are other things that each of us are so gifted in because not only do we have the soul agreements that we would have those gifts, but often, and those gifts allow for spirit to move through us in our own particular way, with our own particular vibration that is so special, so beautiful, and so unique in the way it is expressing. And from, I know many people, I literally have not heard them say more than three words, but they don't need to speak. The presence is who they are, and they just move through the world as that presence. That's how they do it. Then there are other people, I mean, who can play an instrument. I mean, they just sit down and they just, you know, they play and you just go, how do they do that? Now, I know how to dance and to choreograph, and it is true, people who would watch me as I was choreographing, they'd say, how do you do that? How do you choreograph for 25 girls at a time, one right after the other, and you just know exactly what their bodies can do? I said, because I know. I know in my body what their body can do, and I know how to make that happen. That's a gift. I cannot tell you how I know, but I know. And I know so exactly that But I can take a hand, I'll take your hand, I can take a hand and I can say, now dear, what I want you to do is take this hand and I want you to be sure that the thumb always is gently in that position. Now do you feel what that feels like, dear? All right, now we're going to take that hand and we're going to extend the fingertips all the way from your shoulder, all the way down. And I want to see the energy from the fingertip come out. Now send it right on out, dear. That's good. Send it right on out to me. That's it, that's it, that's it. Good. Now, then I'll say, now, when you're on stage or when you're in a competition, I want you to be able to send this energy out your fingertips to the top row of the balcony or the gym or the ice skating rink or wherever you are. And I want the people way up there to go, did you see what she just did? They won't even know what they've seen. But we'll know, those of us who know, that this is the energy that was sent all the way out there. Thank you.
Yay. That was fun.
Isn't that fun? See? I tell you, it really, really works. All right. So, in our lives, most of us hold our energy body right about here, or right about here, or right inside, if we're really not really. Now, as we go through the world, if we're allowing ourselves, particularly when we're in nature, do you know when you're in nature, how you just sort of open and relax and the energy body is not right here, it just continues to go out. And if you're looking at a sunset, I'm not looking at the sunset. I'm way over there where the sunset is. It appears that I'm here, but don't you have that feeling? You look at the sunset and you've already gone all the way out there. You go in the mountains, you don't have to climb all the way to the top, you're already there. The moment you look at it, your energy field goes all the way up there. And if you do have a chance to get on the funicula, I don't climb mountains, I get on the funicula and I go right to the mountaintop and I get off the funicula and they have this beautiful platform there when they serve tea and goodies, which I really love. And then I go out to the edge of this platform and I have my tea and my goodie and I can look down upon the world from this extraordinary place. And I'm actually right there in that little house right there, and I'm standing up here on this funicula, thousands of feet up in the air. Now, if that is true and we're in these bodies, can you imagine the divine consciousness that is in this room right this minute? Wahoo Ramajama is what I say. It is huge. Now, to prepare for these meetings, I'm sitting in my house, which is many miles from here, several miles. I envision the room. I'm in the room. I'm in my house, but I'm in the room. I'm working the energy. I bring the energy in the room. And I say, okay, I want the energy to stay in this room till I come back here next Monday, please. The energy will flow wherever you ask it to flow, and it will stay wherever you want it to stay because that's the truth of it. And then I go off on my business, and when I walk in the room, the energy's here, I say, oh, thank you very much, okay. Now, we all sit here, and we magnify the energy. Where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times, 10,000 times. Let me repeat that. Where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times, 10,000 times, which means that exponentially, we've already gone out into the infinite. Okay? Now, there are more than two of us in this room. Now, if we come in this room and we allow this energy to flow through us and we're fully present with it, it means that wherever we go, the energy is there. And we can simply hide it under our bushel, or we can allow it to just be a vibrating consciousness that surrounds us wherever we go and whatever we do. And no one will be knowing that that is so, unless they have a sensitivity to energy. And sometimes you'll meet someone, and have you not met them, and you say, gosh, I love your energy. Met people like that? Yeah. I love your energy, okay? Now, it's because the energy, which is love, this is all love we're talking about, right? Love is everywhere all the time, and we're just riding the wave of that love. That love is resonating precisely with every single cell in our body. And remember that the number of cells in our body is equivalent to all the stars in the galaxy. Okay? The number What cells in your body is equivalent to all the stars in the galaxy, and that's a whole bunch of stars. Now, every single one of these cells is filled with light. And if we had an atomic microscope right now, and we could go into that cell and go into, because it too is a universe, of course, in there, and it has electrons and protons and all kinds of good things happening in there. And they're rotating and moving around, and most of it is just space, just as our universe is mostly space with a few other things running around. Okay, so inside that cell, there's light, and you can experience that light by being aware and going into any cell. And within that cell, you can see that light. And that light is exactly the light of the divine. Exactly. So I say to people, if you want to know what the divine looks like, you can either go into a single cell or you can go into the extended realms of consciousness. Either one will do. Now, most people are not in their body in such that they would want to choose to go into a single cell. But I would invite you all, tomorrow or the next day or whenever you move to just find a quiet moment and just ask to go into a single cell in your body and to experience the light that is in there. And to know that that light is why I can see you. I could not see him if he didn't have the light. I couldn't see him. I couldn't see any of you unless you had the light, right? Because that's how we see each other. We see each other by the light and the light that we carry. So the light to me is a living, breathing, moving, ever-expanding aspect of this divine consciousness which we carry. And it's not something that is esoteric. On the contrary, I find it to be something that is very practical and it's like breath, you know? It's the way I perceive the world as light. And even though you are solid, I see your light. How could I not see your light? And in seeing your light, then I see that we are one. And there's no person on the planet who doesn't have the light, even though they have chosen a disguise where you'd never suspect there was light. Okay, so that's part of our practice, is it not? Even if the costume that they are in, that they said, oh, I'm gonna look like this time, all right? And maybe they are involved in war or some other aspect of energy. That does not discount the light that is within them. It does not discount the light. Because once they have left the body and they're on the other side, who are they? They're just light, folks. And it helps to understand the light that is in everyone, no matter what it looks like in their ego, no matter what it looks like in their family, or what their exterior light, life and light and costume is that they've chosen for this embodiment. But for us to see the light that is within them and the light that connects all of us. And when we talk about the all in all, and in my prayer life, I speak to the divine and I say, you know, I just love to speak the words of the divine, the all in all, and all that is and ever shall be. And to be one with the light, and to come into the light, to actually experience coming into the light, and then experiencing the light coming into me. Experiencing that as part of my daily awareness of being part of what this whole wonderful drama is that is called life, and how we can step back from it briefly enough that we can see what's really going on. And what's really going on is never what's happening in front of us, right? What's really going on is behind all that. And we want to be able to see what's going on here and then what's really going on here. And to hold those two. Because remember, everything is in polarity. So we're continually saying, it's not just light and dark, it's light, and dark, and then dark and light, and then all the wonderful energies as they mix together. People used to say to me, well, you just talk about love and light and joy, and you never talk about the dark. And I said, well, I'll tell you why. And some of you know this story. A very dear friend, she's now passed over, she was given the assignment, one of her assignments, was to go to the heart of evil. Go to the heart of evil. And she said, why are you asking me to go to the heart of evil? They said, because you got the will to do it. It takes a lot of will to go to the heart of evil. So she said, all right, I'll do it. I'll go to the heart of evil. So she went to the heart of evil, and she came back from the heart of evil, and everyone said, tell us, what did you find in the heart of evil? And she said, I found an angel. And she said, I asked the angel, how can it be that you're at the heart of evil? And the angel said, as long as anyone needs to have evil, I will hold the pole of evil. And when people no longer need evil, then I shall release holding evil, and it will be no more. Okay? Now, we say there's a lot of evil on the planet, but it wouldn't be there unless somebody said, I want that evil. I want what I want when I want it, and if I want evil, that's what I'm going to have. And there are others of us who say, I want the light. And people used to say to me, well, you're not very balanced. I said, honey, I'm just fine. I'm just absolutely fine. I can be askewed. I can be over here. I don't have to necessarily be straight up and down, because I am truly leaning to the point of light. I am truly leaning there. That is true. Now, if somebody wants evil, I used to be on stage. I did some acting. And I'd always be the evil. They said, Mary, you got to be the evil one. You can be evil better than anybody I know. You know how to do that evil thing. And so I would. I'd take, you know, the terrible wife and the terrible this and, oh, yeah. And they'd say, dang, man, you really know how to do evil. You just won. Woo! And I'd say, sure, I know how to do that. But my choice is to be able to hold both, but to live from the place of light. To live from the place of light. And then in so doing, something else can happen. Yes? And I don't know what the something else is. I don't put my attention on that. I don't say, oh gosh, what's the next thing going to be? People say, well, what are you going to do next, Mary? And I'd say, if I knew, I'd already be doing it. Right? If I knew, I'd already be doing it. But right now, this is what I'm doing. And I want to put my full attention on it and bring the light to it. Whatever that is, bring the light to it. And then, as the light manifests, however it is, then something else will happen, will it not? Everything is always unfolding. And then I get to watch what that is. And what part will I be in that unfoldment? Or is it that I am to hold this part and someone else will be doing something else? To be aware of where our service is. And remember, service is being, not doing. Do you need a little drink, sweetie? No, that's perfectly all right. So remember that we are in being, not doing. And it's not our job to do. It is our job to be. Now, I am a consummate doer. I'm a recovering doer. Yes, I'm in recovery. I'm continually in recovery around doing. Because I was raised that the only value you had was in doing. That was your value. That was your value. And sometimes I would just crave to be alone. And so I would find these little nooks and crannies. And my mother knew every nook and cranny. And she would come over and she would say, we are not sitting. We have so much to do. Up, up, up. Here we go. We've got to go and do it. You know, and I'd go, okay. And off I'd go for the next doing. So when the concept of being came into my awareness, which was many, many years after all of this had unfolded, I absolutely didn't know what to do with being because I was so driven in doing. And then when the divine said, we will now release the doing and we will now move into being, And I said, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. And I had been in prayer and meditation and contemplation for years. I'd started my prayer life when I was 5 years old. I'm 70 now. So for 65 years, I've had a prayer life. But it wasn't about being. It was about prayer. You understand? So, some of you know, the Divine said, then we will have a course in being. And I was told to lie down on the floor and not move. And for months, I lay down on the floor and I did not move. Thank goodness I was living with a guy who knew how to cook. He would go to work and he'd come home and he'd say, you're still there. I'd say, yeah. And he'd say, would you like something to eat? And I'd say, yeah. And so he'd bring it. He literally had to feed me. And I would go to the potty, crawl to the potty, come back, lie down. Went on for months. But while I was in that state of complete rest and quiet, I learned what being was. And the being that was within me revealed itself through this absolute quiet. And then I began to have what I call spiritual massages, where I would actually feel hands upon me, and there was no one there. And they were doing this deep, deep work into the tissue, all through me, behind my eyes, my skull, every part of my body. It was absolutely incredible. And I would just be in that stillness. And then, several months passed, and then I was told, now you may stand up, but you can only move in slow motion, and this I have described to many of you. And so I went through a period where I only had slow motion. So let us say I have a tickle on my nose.
Etc.
So it was the nature of being, and allowing that nature of being to so permeate every aspect of myself, even my heartbeat, where it became so, you know, your heart has its own rhythm. But if you're quiet enough, long enough, you can actually feel the heart slowing down and really getting deeply, deeply into each lub-dub of your heart. Very extraordinary. So out of that, then came so many levels of realization that I was waiting to experience rather than just have it be a mental body process, to experience it deeply within myself. And then I could speak what it was from a truth of my own experience, not a mental body energy that I had somehow garnered or gathered or brought together through an intellectual process, but rather the experiential energy of being in being, truly being in being. So now, the doing and the being, when I am doing, I am referencing it from my being. Do you understand? I'm referencing it from my being. I'm not doing to do, to do, to do. I reference it from my being, and then the doing unfolds. And then when that doing is done, I reference in my being to the next doing. For the time when I was a compulsive doer, what happened was that every doing demanded another doing. There was never an end to the doing because one thing led to another, 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 another. And I didn't know any other way. And of course, it served me so well in my professional life. They'd say, my God, how do you do it? You do it and do it and do it. You know, and I said, yeah, I'm really good at doing, aren't I? You know, I'm doing and doing and doing. It was just incredible. And I would go, wow, far out, you know. This doing is a really great thing. But at the end of the day, where was the being? I went and learned how to do transcendental meditation with one of Maharishi's beautiful people. And Maharishi, I think it is. And one of the women from this group of beings that I got to know, she gave me a little, lent it to me, a little statue of Kuan Yin, just about that big. And I was living in a very small apartment, and the end of my bed was just far enough away from my dresser for me to pass by. That's how small the room was. And I put the Kuan Yin right there, you know, on the edge of my dresser, and I would sit up, you know, just like I was taught, except I'd be, you know, my legs would be straight out on the bed, and I would start my meditation. And at one point, the voice of the divine said, open your eyes. And I said, I'm meditating. I'm not supposed to open my eyes. And the divine said, it's all right. You can break the law. Open your eyes. So I opened my eyes, and the Kuan Yin was floating above the dresser. I said, no, shut the eyes. So I said, no. I'm not hallucinating. I do not take drugs. This is not the deal. I'm sorry. And, you know, and the divine said, open your eyes. And I went, you know, what if I open my eyes and she's still floating there? I was young and immature. I didn't know what a blessing it was. So I said, okay. I opened my eyes. The Kuan Yin is floating above the dresser. And I go, okay. I think I got what this is. And I closed my eyes and I thanked the Kuan Yin. I said, thank you, Kuan Yin, for bringing this to me. I thanked the divine. I said, I'm sorry that I did not pay attention to the first call, the words that you spoke, and that I resisted. And I said, I will not resist again. Whatever it is that you bring to me, in that moment, absolutely, I will pay attention. And I will never, ever, ever not say no. I will say yes to everything. Everything. And in saying yes to everything, of course, what comes unto you? Everything. Every little old thing, if you just say yes. Now, that was a huge lesson on two levels. One, my capacity to honor the voice within, and without hesitation, there it is. I will, without hesitation, be present with whatever it is. And the second was, no matter what it is, say yes. No matter what it is, say yes. And often, the yes that you say is not even externalized. It is what you're confirming within yourself, that whatever is happening out there or inside yourself, it is in divine order. And it is for us to be one with it so that we may see what is this that is unfolding. And often it is cause, it looks like disease, or it looks like unhappiness, or it looks like whatever it looks like out there inside ourselves. And at the same time, we're being asked to hold a much bigger picture, are we not? To be able to see what is the big picture of what we're holding, and how shall we hold it? How shall we hold it? It used to be that I was brought up, you have to be independent, you have to do it by yourself, you cannot ask for help. Did anyone else get that? Nod your heads up and down. Okay, I got that one. That was a big one. So I said, okay, by myself, go do that thing, I'm going to do that thing. Years went by. Then I met a gentleman by the name of Arnold Patton, and he talked about support. I said, I wonder what that is. I don't know what that is. So I went to the workshop, and the whole thing was all about support. I listen, I go, support. Yeah. What is he talking about? Support? You know, we're going to have support groups. I said, shoot, man, what is that? A support group? You gotta be kidding me. I mean, the whole lingo was just way off the radar for me. And I went, okay, I can do this. Support. I'm sure I can do this. Okay. And then we got in little groups. And we said, all right, now we're going to support each other. And I went, oh, no. I'm going to have to support somebody. Man, what? And so I listened, you know, and they said, well, I'm going to support you. Well, oh, no, they said, what do you want me to support you in? And the person would say, I want you to support me and blah, 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 blah. And I go, far out, you know. And sometimes it'd be around health or money or getting a boyfriend or, you know. I mean, just it was just fabulous. And I went, wow, okay. And when it comes to me, what am I going to ask for? And so they came around and they said, what kind of support do you want, Mary? Do you think I could think of something? No! Absolutely no way. And they said, what's wrong with you? I said, I haven't been raised to know what this is. I said, y'all are speaking Greek. But by the end of the weekend, I had been immersed in support. And so I called my sister. I said, how can I support you? And she said, what? And I said, you will never believe what I have just done over the weekend. I have been with a group of people, and all they want to do is support each other. I just hooted. And she said, so what am I supposed to do, Mary? I said, I haven't got a clue. I said, but I'm just supposed to call five people and tell them that I will support them. And I said, oh my Lord. And of course, I called everybody I knew, and all of them said, what are you talking about? And they would say, is this New Age? Is this the New Age thing? And I said, probably. I'm not sure, because I don't know what the New Age thing is. But it was just profound. It was really profound. But I finally was able to figure out what support was. And so I don't really use that word very often, because it doesn't really have a lot of meaning for me. But, you know, if someone says, well, you know, could somebody help me do blah, blah, blah? I say, yeah, I can help you do that. Hilarious. So understand, the divine comes in curious ways. And that was a very curious way for me. And the divine was in that room, helping all of us to expand our consciousness around how we could literally support. Okay? How do we support ourselves? How do we support each other? What is that kind of love that is just right there all the time, and you know it's there? I mean, I have friends that I've known for, you know, 65 years. And if anything happened or I needed anything from them, I could call them like that and they would say, I'm right here. And I would do likewise for them. But I didn't know that was support thing. But now I figured out that's support. So it works out really well. So to get back to what we were talking about, and support's a big part of it, how we can invite into this which is unfolding within us, this idea of being on the path, and then how we move on the path step by step, which we started with this evening. And what is the will that it takes to do that? Well, if you have even one person upon the path with you, then of course you share the energy, and it makes it so much easier. All of us, I certainly can speak for myself, I was told you have to do it all by yourself. Can't depend on anybody else. You're the one. You got to do it all by yourself. And when I realized, because I learned about support, that didn't have to look like that, I suddenly realized that aloneness had been an epidemic in me. That I needed to heal and be able to reach out and create those people around me so that we could all walk together, whatever the path looks like. It doesn't make any difference what it is, as long as we're doing it with others. It is in the sweet ease, is it not? And when I go home from these meetings, do y'all think you're not with me? Every single person who's ever come into this room, you're with me. You're with me 24 hours a day. And when I do my prayers, you're with me. When I do my silence, you're with me. Wherever I go. And sometimes I even hee-hee, because you will come unto me. And you go, hey, Mary, I'm right here. I go, oh, wow, look at that, they came. Understand, whatever the path is that you've taken, it is the path that is absolutely appropriate for you. And if it's not, you will know, and you will just step to another path. That's all you're going to do. And all of us are moving together in this most sublime and beautiful way, for which I give unceasing thanks. So now, before we do the silence, what we do is hum. And as we're humming, it will go down into our hearts, and it will vibrate in our hearts. And then you can allow the humming to vibrate through the entire body. And the light which is in every single cell will vibrate to that humming. So if you put your feet on the floor, and it's a continuous hum. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd like to make the calls. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who gather to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this, and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day, unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts, and there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still in love with the divine which we are. Thank you. And I open my heart, and I bring you, Gaia, beloved Mother Earth, into my heart. Thank you, Gaia, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, Mother. Thank you for loving us and nurturing us through each and every one of our embodiments. Thank you, Mother. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring you, beloved elementals of earth, air, fire, and water, into my heart. Thank you, beloved ones, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. And thank you for your union and communion with Mother Earth, and your union and communion within every cell of our physical body, for without you, we could not exist upon the earth plane. Thank you. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring the whole of humanity into my heart. Thank you, beloved souls. All souls who are in the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. All souls who are leaving the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And all souls who are coming into the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And to my soul, thank you. I love you. Thank you, dear beloved souls, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, dear ones. I love you.